for the deepest, darkest crevices, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious. It's time for the Big Scary Show.
This is Alan Hopps with Dark Hour Haunted House in Plano, Texas. You are listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Dee Snider, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show. That's right.
Hi, this is Lita Ford, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hello, creeps. It's me,
John Kassir, the voice of
the Crypt Keeper. And you're listening to The Big Scary Show, the top podcast in the industry.
Hi, this is Hector Turner from the Halloween Haunt Calendar, and I'm talking to you live from The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Jim Millspaugh, co-owner of Screammakers Court in Covington, Kentucky. And hey, you're listening to my podcast, The Big Scary Show.
You're listening to The Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do.
Well, that's the last one. And now, I can go back to the North Pole, get out of this red suit and boots, get some hot chocolate, maybe a little something extra in it, and relax, and listen to The Big Scary Show. Yeah, so Santa likes scary stuff. Hey, look who my brother is. Damn Krampus. Speaking of which, on this episode of The Big Scary Show, our co-hosts sit down with Alan Hopps and our own Jim Millspaugh, a.k.a. the worst known secret in the haunt industry, to talk about the Krampus and its effect on the industry and where they can see this going later on in the years to come. Badger sits down and has a chat with Hector Turner about the 2015 haunt calendar. Storm, well, you know he's been sipping on the eggnog, so he's going to have one heck of a haunt minute for us this time. The unknown scare actor, once again, is back to talk about facing your fears. And I'm sure he's going to have a Christmas slant on that one. The unknown scare actor making a rare appearance on our show to read us the 12 scares of Christmas. The haunt rocker comes out and brings some festive holiday theme music for the show. Badger reads the news. All this and a lot more on The Big Scary Show, Christmas edition. You know, I really want to kick those damn elves in the nuts. This whole elf on the shelf crap, good grief. But gotta make sure to keep up the image for the kids. Oh, where's those little bastards at anyway? Oh, there you are. This is what you get for making those reindeers fart so much, you little bastards! Take that! And that! Oh, don't pull that elf on the shelf crap with me!
Transworld's Halloween Inn Attraction Show returns to the America Center in St. Louis, Missouri, March 19th through 22nd, 2015. The Transworld Halloween Inn Attraction Show is the only industry trade show of its kind in the world. There is no other show that has as many exhibitors and industry-related products. For the past 19 years, Transworld's annual Halloween and attraction show, has created the marketplace for the haunted house industry. This show is a must-attend event if you are thinking about opening or currently operate a haunt, corn maze, farm, pumpkin patch, paintball field, family fun center, amusement park, zoo, aquarium, Halloween retail store, or anything Halloween related. We have everything you need to make your Halloween season a success. Each year, the show continues to grow with new exhibitors and new product and more buyers on the show floor. The Halloween and Attraction Show combines the products and knowledge of over 300 exhibitors that you need to see this March. See you at the Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show.
All right, Stormy Claws here, and I hope you're enjoying the Big Scary Show non-denominational holiday fun fest. I just want to wish you a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, a Crazy Kwanzaa, a Tip Top Tet, a Psalm Eventful Ramadan, and a Festive Festivus for the rest of us.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is A Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
Alright, so it's Christmas time.
Yeah!
And it's great this year because more and more haunts, more and more areas are having holiday-themed haunts. Krampuses, Fright Before Christmas, Santa Sleigh, all kinds of great stuff going on. However, I think that seeing these themes and seeing these haunts doing what they are during this holiday season, they're missing the obvious. They're missing one of the most time-honored traditions that plays into supernatural Halloween and haunting as a whole. And it is just being missed. And that's the theme of A Christmas Carol. They're ghosts. The story is driven by ghosts. Why aren't the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future being featured in more holiday haunts? How great can you do a creepy Christmas past and all the wild things that have gone on in days of yore? Ah, great Christmas. Christmas present. Yes, there are awful things going on. Malls and just creepiness that you can... half of my soul today while out shopping. I mean, you can have an evil Christmas present. And then apocalyptic visions of a Christmas future. Oh, yes.
I am the ghost of Christmas future. See your doom.
I mean, just great ways to go about that. So I think it's absolutely being underutilized. More haunts should be having the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. Get out there. Do it. Make it happen. I want to see a haunt in every area doing that next year. You want to stand out from the crowd? This is how you do it. People are going to recognize that. They may not recognize Krampus, but they're going to recognize that. You can do it. And next year is your time to do it because it's Christmas. I'm wishing you a Merry Christmas. But until next time, keep every minute jolly!
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
Hey, this is Josh Gates from Sci-Fi's Destination Truth, encouraging you to check out HauntMinute.com.
Jerry Vane, from all of us to all of you, on the Big Scary Show.
Mask is too tight for my head. I can't see.
Where you don't have time to wait to be scared.
You're taking too long. Just throw something on and get to your scene.
Darkest fears unlimited. Masks, props, and blood that will make your haunt scary.
All right, this mask fits perfect, and parts of it are even pulsating. Finally, I'm gonna scare every night.
DarkestFearsUnlimited.com.
Hello, everyone. Drew Badger here, wanting to take the time to wish each and every one of our great listeners of The Big Scary Show a very happy and safe holiday season, no matter how you choose to celebrate or not celebrate. I want to thank our special correspondents, Wicked Wendy, Dog Soldier, Eric Veister, super special correspondent Tater, and, of course, the other Gahosts, the unknown scare actor, Storm, and the Haunstrumentalist, Jerry Vane. Without all you guys, plus our fine sponsors, we wouldn't be where we are today. So once again, thank you guys for a great 2014. We'll see y'all in 2015, bigger and better than before. And we're out.
Deadline News is very proudly sponsored by Haunt X Haunters Retreat, happening April 30th through May 3rd, 2015, at the Circus Circus Convention Center in the biggest little city in the world, Reno, Nevada. For more information, visit www.hauntx.com. Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. We have this update from HauntCon. With only a few weeks until the HauntCon madness begins in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, it's time to make your travel plans and reservations. HauntCon, the convention designed by haunters for haunters, will be at the Belle of Baton Rouge Hotel in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, February 6th through the 10th, 2015. Over 50 hours of education, haunted house tours, exhibitors, the haunted garage sale, and much more, all crammed into these amazing days. Trade show and all education is included in the low, low admission price. HauntCon is sponsored by Gantom, formerly Darklight. Our block of discounted rooms at the Belle of Baton Rouge Hotel is now open. Call 800-676-4847 and ask for the discount code HAA27A to get their unbelievable room rate of only $99 a night in Baton Rouge at the start of Mardi Gras. Go to HauntCon.com for details or to get your tickets. Get a jump start on your haunted season at HauntCon 2015. It is the best investment you can make in your haunted endeavors. On a side note, we will have Leonard Pickle on our next show to talk everything HauntCon. We have this interesting news about the Halloween and Party Expo, a.k.a. the Retail Show. The Halloween Industry Association, HIA, and Urban Expositions has announced that they are to acquire the Halloween and Party Expo from its current owners, H&P Expo, LLC. The upcoming event, scheduled for February 6th through the 9th, 2015, at the New Orleans Convention Center, will be operated by H&P Expo. HIA and Urban will take over the event immediately following the 2015 edition. Under the new partnership, Urban Expositions will be responsible for managing all aspects of the event, including sales, operations, marketing, and promotion, with guidance and expertise provided by the Halloween Industry Association. Our membership is thrilled to have Urban Expositions as our partner for the Halloween and Party Expo. The HIA is passionate about the event and looks forward to its partnership with Urban Expositions, a company with a great deal of trade show knowledge and customer focus, says Mark Beige, chairman of the HIA board and CEO of Ruby's Costume Company. This is an exciting opportunity for members to lead the premier buying event with proceeds to fund industry initiatives. Jonathan Irwin of the H&P Expo LLC states, "The transfer of show ownership to the HIA and Urban Partnership is a natural evolution of the show. We look forward to a smooth transition and to supporting and attending the show for years to come. Future editions of the Halloween and Party Expo will also take place in New Orleans with the dates of January 20th through the 23rd, 2016, and January 14th through the 17th, 2017. For more information, visit www.urban-expo.com or www.hiaonline.org or contact via email hia@ahint.com. That's ahint.com. We have this bittersweet news from Matthew Flagler of the Canadian Haunted Attractions Conference. They say that every dog has its day, and it sure has been a lot of fun running the CHAC these past 5 years. I won't bore you with all the gory details, but I've recently come to a difficult decision that I've actually been weighing for some time now. There are a number of things that I could point to that have assisted me in coming to this decision, but the short of it is that the Canadian Haunted Attractions Conference will not be operating in 2015. I've been hearing rumors about this for about a month now, so officially, to put this to bed, yes, it's true. We will not be hosting the CHAC in 2015. I'm taking some time off to reevaluate my priorities and to get my head straight. I won't be responding to emails or even considering options until at least June. I definitely need a timeout right now, and possibly a do-over, and will put out another newsletter edition as soon as I have more to tell you. In the meantime, the website will still be up, and we'll keep the Facebook page open as well. Check either one of those for information as it becomes available. Those sites are www.canadahaunts.ca and facebook.com/canadian.haunted.attractions.conference. We have this news from the Motor City Nightmare in Novi, Michigan. Motor City Nightmare's first event that will include their new charity, Friends of Motor City Nightmares, is our New Year's Evil Masquerade Ball, which will benefit the Wounded Warriors Project. Join us at New Year's Evil Grim Fairy Tales on December 31st at the Novi Sheraton. Friends of MCN would like to offer all military, with a valid ID, free admittance to our party and with our gratitude for serving our country. A portion of our proceeds will go directly to Wounded Warriors, and we will have a link for direct donations on our site very soon. This is a great way to start the new year. Visit facebook.com/MotorCityNightmares for more information. We have this update from Wednesday 13. Wednesday 13 has a message for the attendees of the Mad Mobster Party in Chicago. I've been intrigued by true crime stories in the same way I was intrigued by horror films. These stories I've written about in my songs over the years, and then in 2006, I was given some actual John Wayne Gacy drawings from his prison cell. 8 to be exact. Over the years, I parted ways with all of them except for the one called The Sex Skull. I don't know why, out of all the other pieces, I kept this one. Maybe because it was the most disturbing of them all to look at. Wednesday 13, the infamous frontman of the Murder Dolls, Frankenstein drag queens from Planet 13. Wednesday 13, Bourbon Crow, and Gunfire 76 joins the madness in Chicago February 13th through the 15th. He'll be exhibiting John Wayne Gacy's The Sex Skull and discussing his dealings in murderabilia. There are a limited number of discount rooms at the Hilton Chicago Hotel, where the show is at, and all the mobsters party. So act fast if you want to save money with the Mad Mobster rate. Discount rooms and tickets are at www.madmobster.com. We have this update on the New York Horror Show in Hopog, New York. We are excited to bring you Rutanya Aldo of The Deer Hunter, Amityville The Possession, Mommy Dearest, and more to the New York Horror Show this January 16th through the 18th. For all the details plus a complete guest list, visit www.nyhorrorshow.com. We've got another update about the Walking Dead spinoff series. No more sweat-drenched survivors trudging through the forest. The Walking Dead's companion project is taking the zombie apocalypse out of Georgia. Sources confirm TV lines report that the as-yet-untitled pilot is set in Los Angeles. The scenery shift to the West Coast adds some intriguing setting possibilities. Beaches in the ocean, Hollywood, iconic landmarks, Walker's celebrities, though the cable show could never top Bill Murray in Zombieland, a nearby desert, and a larger metropolis to play with than the original hit's occasional dips into Atlanta. Just because the setting is in Los Angeles doesn't guarantee it'll be shot there. AMC, which had no comment, is still casting the pilot, written by Robert Kirkman and Dave Erickson. So far, Cliff Curtis, Sunshine, Frank DeLay, who played Tom Riddle in Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, and Alicia Dedenham Carey from Into the Storm have signed on to this project. And finally, we have this news about a sequel, sort of, to the 1986 movie The Fly. Though Fox passed on David Cronenberg's scripted sequel to his 1986 monster piece, The Fly, publisher IDW has seen fit to continue the story, albeit differently, on the page. Out this March from IDW is The Fly, Outbreak, written by Brandon Seifert and featuring art from Menton 3. No word if the 5-issue miniseries disregards The Fly 2, but the comic is described as follows. Years ago, a scientist had a horrific accident when he tried to use his newly invented teleportation device and became a human-fly hybrid. Now his almost-human son continues to search for a cure for the mutated genes, but a breakthrough turns into a breakout, and anyone exposed risks turning into a monster as well. To be totally honest, The Fly is one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen, said Seifert. It was really resonant for its time, and in the last 20 years or so, with all the advances in genetically modified organisms, the film has taken on a lot of meaning it didn't originally have. It's really exciting to explore these elements in this miniseries, and great to have an amazing, super distinctive artist like Menton 3 on the visuals. Equal parts gory allegory and tragic love story, The Fly was perhaps David Cronenberg's crowning achievement. Editor Denton J. Tipton said, "That's a lot to live up for, but I believe Brandon and Menton are equal to the task. The script is sharp and poignant, and the art is visceral and haunting. No one is safe. Look for it on shelves, coming this March."
Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com, and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
King Diamond, no presents for Christmas on the Big Scary Show.
gentlemen, of course, if we have a gruesome giveaway the show before, that means we are looking for a winner this show. And, of course, we are. It is time to hopefully give away a great prize courtesy of Screamline Studios. Please go to ScreamlineStudios.com because they are one of our loyal and fine sponsors. We love them. We hope you will, too. But we're going to give away something from Screamline, hopefully. And if you remember how this works, last show we asked a question, had lots of people enter. We picked a random caller or random person. Maybe have them on the line now. Random person, what is your name? Where are you located?
Hi, my name's Greg Packard, and I'm located in Southern California, Palmdale, specifically the high desert.
Palmdale, California. Excellent. That's Southern California. Nice. Great to have you on the show here. Greg, you know how this works. You sent in a possible entry for the show. We randomly selected your number, or randomly selected your name, and here we are. I do need to ask you a couple of quick legal questions. Number one, have we contacted you in any way, shape, or form other than to tell you when to call in?
No, sir.
Okay. Number two, have you tried to bribe us with any type of, you know, money, jewelry, dancing girls, anything like that to increase your chances of winning?
No, sir.
All right. So, Greg Packard of Palmdale, up in the high deserts of California, the question for the December gruesome giveaway was, who did Alice Cooper commission to create Frank and Alice?
Distortions Unlimited.
You are absolutely correct. Distortions was the one who created Frank and Alice and has been entertaining people on stage ever since. Congratulations to Greg Packard, Palmdale, California. Woo-hoo. The December winner of the gruesome giveaway. Greg, do you work in the haunt industry? You own a haunt, home haunt, anything like that? Work at one?
Home haunter. We have a home haunt here right at the house, obviously, and we're very excited to be on the show. Wow.
Excellent. Well, thank you. What's the name of the haunt? Give it a plug. Give it a website if you got one.
RestlessSoulsManor.com is the website. You can also find us on Facebook at Facebook Restless Souls Manor.
Excellent. Well, Greg Packard, once again, thank you so much for being a listener, entering the gruesome giveaway, and again, congratulations on winning a fine prize courtesy of Screamline Studios. Again, RestlessSoulsManor.com, or look for them on Facebook. Check out his home haunt if you're in the Palmdale, California area next year. Hold on the line again. We'll get some shipping information. Once again, congratulations, Greg Packard, for the December gruesome giveaway.
All right.
Hey, everybody. This is Wicked Wendy. Just wanted to let everybody know that I'm thinking of you on this holiday and want everybody to have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Everybody stay safe and stay scary, and we will see everybody at the upcoming conventions this year, and can't wait, and see you then.
Gentlemen, that music, of course, symbolizes one thing and one thing only. It's time for the Round Table of Terror. And you know, folks, I want to say, first of all, on behalf of the Big Scary Show, Happy Holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, all the other people who celebrate all the other types of things this time of year. And, of course, all you haunted house owners out there who have Christmas-themed haunts, we certainly want to talk about that. That's becoming a very big thing out there. Another big thing that's happening out there is the Krampus. There's a lot of haunted houses out there that are doing a Krampus-themed, Christmas-themed type attraction, and that's kind of a cool thing. So we thought we'd grab a couple of people to talk about Christmas-themed haunts and touch a little bit on the Krampus. Didn't have to go far for this one. Our very own unknown scare actor happens to be a brand new haunt owner, if you recall the news, and they're doing a Christmas-themed and Krampus-themed haunt in Covington, Kentucky at Screamakers Court. Unknown scare actor, I know you're with us, right?
Yeah, Merry Creepmas.
I like that. And, of course, somebody who I consider one of the forefront members of bringing the Krampus to prominence in this country. You, most of you know who we're talking about, Mr. Alan Hopps down in Mesquite, Texas. Alan, are you with us?
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
And you are the director of Dark Hour Haunted House, also doing a Christmas-themed haunt, among many other shows during the course of the year. And, of course, we wouldn't be the Big Scary Show's Roundtable of Terror without our other hosts, including Storm.
If Tom Hanks didn't have it cornered on creepiness on a train, the Krampus would be in New England where I am.
Nice. Already mentioned the unknown scare actor, so way out in Vegas, the Hauntstrumentalist Jerry Vane.
Feliz on your dog. Feliz on your dog.
And damn, you stole my thunder. My name is Drew Badger down in Charlotte, where it was a blazing hot 60 degrees today, and I'm loving it. Anyway, welcome to Christmas-themed haunts and the Krampus on this Roundtable of Terror. I'll start with you, Jim. Jim is a brand new haunt owner, and you kind of got thrown into this. How did you come with your partner's decision to do a Christmas-themed haunt this year?
Well, fortunately, Ryan Thieroff, my partner, actually did what he called Black Christmas last year. It was just two weekends, and, you know, it was kind of an introductory period. It went over all right, but, you know, obviously Halloween's the big time, and this year I thought we were going to do Black Christmas, but he changed it to Holiday Horrors, and that was right before I came on board with him. And, you know, I'm supporting it. We're doing three weekends this year. We've already gotten through one weekend. And there was, you know, a couple of growing pains because of, you know, me taking over the reins on certain things. But so far it's been all positive. Most of my actors have been really receptive to the change and have been willing to help out. And we're going to have a Krampus or a Krampus ourselves this coming weekend in our queue line. And when you go into our haunt, the first thing you're going to come across is Santa Claus, but he's not your traditional Santa Claus. This one's a kind of a nasty Santa Claus. And he's a photo op, too. We have a camera set up there. He's got his throne and everything. And, you know, bang, the first thing you do is you get your photo taken with a drunken, nasty old Santa. Just kind of sets the mood.
Oh, of course.
Sounds like being at a mall.
Yeah, there's no drunken Santas at malls. So, boy, that's just a... That's just a unique one there. Alan, I know down at Dark Hour you do a show for just about every major holiday, and this is not the first time you've done a holiday-themed haunt there.
No, what's hilarious is that we're setting up Christmas again this year. We've opted to push our dates back just a little bit. We're actually – and we don't call it a Christmas theme. We call it a – it's a holiday theme. I try to avoid the word Christmas. Down here we're kind of in the Bible Belt. And as soon as I start putting monsters, you know, on with the word Christmas, that could upset some people. So we kind of just avoid that altogether. And it's a holiday event. We're actually post-Christmas. We're trying to capitalize on that time when the family is still here, the presents have been opened, and you want something to do. Christmas night, Christmas Day, the 25th, is one of the number one nights for movies in the country. So if they all want to go out and do stuff, we want to give them another good option. So that very next night, the 26th and 27th, is our first of two weekends for the show.
Ironically enough, I believe this show, this episode, will be airing on December 26th. So that works out perfectly for everyone who catches the show.
Well, yeah, because they'll still have that next weekend to, you know, make it out to us. They'll have that weekend and the one after.
Excellent. I did not know about the movie thing. I have heard that Christmas night is a very big night for going out for Chinese food.
It's also one of the biggest movie nights of the year.
Wow. And I guess that makes sense. You know, you spend the morning and the afternoon with the family, and by then you're tired of them, so you want to go out and do something. So why not go to a haunted attraction, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we had the Krampus on our show. That was an easy one. There's so much lore around Christmas time. One of the big advantages is that Christmas morning, the whole Christmas season, everybody has a little kid in them. And the closer that little kid is to the surface, the easier that person is to scare. So the holiday drawing out the inner child of everyone, I'm going to scare them right back in. That's kind of it's an easy way to capitalize upon the season.
It's working on the psyche of people. I like that.
Yeah, anytime you have that, you know, that inner child close to the surface, that person's going to be a little bit easier to scare, you know?
I'm going to ask this. This year, again, as I have seen many, many haunts around the country that are doing Christmas-themed or holiday-themed haunts, they are featuring a Krampus or a demon or some sort of folkloric mythological creature. And it just seems to have caught a foothold in the door. For people who have not heard of this, Alan, I know you're kind of a resident expert on it. What exactly or who exactly is or was the Krampus?
The Krampus is a demon who is associated with Krampusnacht. Krampusnacht is actually December 5th, and it's obviously pre-Christmas, so he comes in before Christmas. And the Krampus, he's big, he's hairy, he's got horns, he has a big basket on his back. Often he has goat's feet, cloven hooves, and he basically comes in and he will take naughty children away. He just takes them away. That's why Santa Claus only gives presents to good children. Not because he's picky. The list came about after we got done away with Krampus. Not because he's watching them. Because all that's left is good kids. Krampus took the bad kids.
So it kind of thins the herd. I like that.
Exactly.
That works out brilliant. I remember last year, our show, we had an author who had written a book about the Krampus and had gone into the folklore and the mythology and all that. But it just seems that, as I said, this is it's starting to become I'm not going to say trendy, but it is definitely taking a foothold in the haunt industry, and I think there's even a movie or two on the Krampus that is coming out soon. I've seen that some either TV movies. I hope to God it's not Sci-Fi Channel, but a couple of movies are coming out on this that are going to be more, I guess, horror films than anything.
Well, there's a lot of rich lore with it. So, I mean, the Krampus is Austrian and German in nature. I mean, originally, that's kind of where it started, where it was really focused. There's huge parades over there. It's a big deal and event. I think that the Krampus is kind of coming back right now because it's a lot of the internet. I mean, you can look up Krampus parades on YouTube, and they're just amazing. There's fire and all these, you know, monsters walking around. It's just a really neat thing to see, and it adds such color to this time of year. You know, there's a big anti-Valentine's Day movement, and I forget what they call it, but, you know, National Single Awareness Day, I think they call it. But that's kind of a big thing, too, where there's this opposite contingent to whatever the main holiday is. And I think Krampus, he is holiday, but he also represents the darker side.
And he is kind of the anti-holiday, like you say.
Yeah.
Jim, what was Dark Hours, or not Dark Hours, sorry, Scream Anchors Court's decision to put a Krampus in this year? Was it just based on the fact that that's the most recognizable horror Christmas theme something out there, or what?
Yeah, pretty much that's what it was. You know, last year it was just basically Santa Claus and elves. And this year I've got several guest actors coming from different haunts in the area. And one of them said, hey, is it okay if we bring a Krampus? And I said, are you kidding? Why aren't you here now? I said, I would love to have a Krampus in the queue line. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I was thrilled. And he's supposed to be on stilts, too.
Oh, very nice.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing this Krampus. It'll be the first, Friday, if not Friday, Saturday. And it was a no-brainer. You know, it was like, yes, there's no way I wouldn't say anything but yes. Because of, you know, I followed Alan's you know, pushing the Krampus, and when we talked to Brom last year, and even talking to Chris Kolstrom about the Krampus legends, it's just going to keep gaining steam. And, you know, in 5 years from now, he's going to be really big in the States, I think.
Well, last weekend, we actually had a Krampus walk in Dallas. We had just about 30 Krampuses show up, and it got a lot of media coverage. It was a really fun event. It was December 5th. It was that Friday night.
Right.
And probably maybe 200 people showed up just to see the Krampus walk. We happened to have it in a busy area, and it was almost like a pub crawl. We kind of just went to a heavy area, but it was a great event. It was a lot of fun. And people were happy to see him, and the majority knew what it was.
It's interesting you brought that up because my sister lives in Grapevine, and she actually sent me a link to the TV station, one of the TV stations that was covering, saying, "Have you ever heard of this?" And when I saw the clip, and I'm like, I was wondering if you were involved with that or not.
I was the big white one in the pictures.
That was you.
That was me.
Wow.
Yeah, we had four Krampuses on stilts there, and Dark Hour alone brought 14 Krampuses to that event.
Wow.
Where was Ed involved, Michael, Bart, any of those guys Krampuses, or was it just standard actors?
Michael and Bart were both in Krampus costumes, and Ed Gannon was there, and he was on the ground handing out flyers and helping kind of get the word out and assisting in photo taking and that kind of stuff.
There is, I believe, a Krampus crawl in Charlotte going on this weekend, which obviously will have come and gone by now. But it's called, I think it's just called the Krampus crawl in Charlotte. So it's spreading. I would have figured the Krampus would have been bigger in towns with, you know, maybe up in the Northeast with the huge European populations from, you know, Poland and the Switzerland, Czechoslovakia, those areas where he's huge, Austria, Germany populations. But you said you had a big one in Dallas. There's one in Charlotte, sprouting up all over the place.
Yeah, Dallas actually has a pretty pretty solid German contingent. Lots of towns where German settlers kind of founded them. So there is a strong connection to Germany in Texas. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it's the nationality at this point. I think it's just the concept.
Sure.
That people are kind of falling in love with.
I think it's concept and also, you know, something new for the area and stuff. We do have a semi-disorganized Krampus walk up here in New England in Fall River, which isn't one of the bigger cities in the area. But, you know, with New England and Christmas and everything, it's giant light shows or, God, Polar Express experiences where we have all these old touring train things and they're all Polar Express. That's the big thing up here now. So if you put the Krampus on a train, it'll come to New England then.
Yeah, we have a couple of the Polar Express events here, but they're, I'd say they're more popular than Krampus here also, but I think he's going to catch on and catch up.
And we'll continue this discussion in just a moment. We got to take a really quick break to pay some bills and get you some very important information. We are talking about Christmas-themed haunts and the Krampus with Alan Hopps down in Texas, the unknown scare actor, newly formed owner of Screammakers Court in Covington, Kentucky. Just sit tight, and we'll be right back.
It's time to build your undead horde with the best-rated zombie props 2 years in a row. You'll find them at creepycollection.com, along with the scary creepy clown props, the frozen meat locker props, the deadly doll props, the creepy killer props, and the deadly deal life-size bodies. creepycollection.com, the online source for all your pro-haunting and animatronic needs. You'll find creepy collection props in many venues, from yard haunts to major screen parks to movie production and even crime scene investigation. Featuring FearFlex technology, Creepy Collection is taking the static out of static. For your gore and more, that's Creepy Collection at www.creepycollection.com.
And we're back talking holiday-themed haunts, Krampuses, and anything else we can think of with Alan Hopps and the other hosts here on the Roundtable of Terror. Talking Christmas-themed haunts, Krampus, everything Christmas-related. Jerry, I think you had a question, did you not?
Yeah, we'll start with Alan on this one. As far as the holiday shows, how are they received in your area compared to the Halloween ones?
Well, we have a distinct advantage. The Dallas-Fort Worth market has about 50 haunted houses. And if you go, you know, a couple hours out, you know, 2 hours of driving or so, I bet there's 150, 160 haunted houses. So if just 10 people from each of those shows want to come to an off-season show, that's a decent audience. So, I mean, it's not uncommon for us to get 100, 150 haunted house people show up to come to one of our off-season shows. And that's a real good bump. Other than that, it's a pretty good audience. They come out. We're trying very hard. We actually have a season pass because we have so many shows. But we're trying very hard to build an audience of repeat customers, and we change our show about 60% for each of these off-season shows. It's not that we go in and just put Santa hats on everything and change some costumes. We change around quite a bit, and people are catching on to that, of how different our shows are, and we're seeing repeat customers who just enjoy the entertainment. They're not haunted house people. They just like coming out to see it.
Now, what are some of the other shows that Dark Hour does during the year?
Well, after this show, we're going to go into our show called Love is Blind, which is in February for Valentine's Day. And Love is Blind is our only blackout show. We kind of have a very pretty haunt, so it's very hard for us to turn all the lights off and send people through. But even then, we do it with a bit of a twist as far as the show goes. I expect a great turnout for that this year because Valentine's Day itself is a day when everyone is supposed to go out. You're supposed to go out and do something. If you have a significant other, you have to take them out. If you don't have a significant other, you don't want to stay home on Valentine's Day, so you want to go and do something too. That's on Friday. And then, that's on Saturday night. Friday is February the 13th. Friday the 13th, right before Valentine's Day. I think it's going to be a huge weekend for every haunt that's open.
And if you're a haunt that was considering it, there's two really good reasons right there.
Friday the 13th, right next to Valentine's Day. That's going to be a winner. We then have St. Patrick's Sleigh weekend in March. And after St. Patrick's Sleigh, we have Spring Fever, which is a zombie-based show. And then in May, we have... that's another kind of a holiday that I want to kind of get people aware of. Walpurgis Nacht is... It's technically on the 1st. I think it's June 1st or May 1st. It's halfway to Halloween. That's what the celebration is all about. Walpurgis Nacht. Yeah, it's May 1st.
Is that a musical? Is that a musical based?
We do a musical for that show because all the monsters are throwing a party because it's halfway to Halloween. So yes, our haunt for Walpurgis Nacht is a musical. After that, we have June, which is Summer Spirits. Summer Spirits is an off-season show. It takes place in June. We have an all-female cast for that. We don't allow any male actors in except for stunts and to work puppets. That's all that they're allowed to do. But it's the girls' show for Summer Spirits. And it's all about possession and kind of a loose exorcist theme. That's a fun show. And then after Summer Spirits, we have You're Into July. And July is the Dog Days of Summer, one of my favorites. It's a big werewolf show, where it's all wolfmen and werewolves, and you know there's new effects for each one. We add scenes, we take scenes away. It's we make a big change for each of these.
Very, very cool.
And then from July, August, and September, we kind of lay low. We open in late September for our October show, and that takes a while to switch over and get all that going again.
Now, Jim, I know
that sounds cool, actually.
Jim,
it's a lot of fun.
Nice. Jim, didn't Ryan do a couple of shows during the course of the year last year?
Yes, he did. And actually, our next show is actually going to be on Friday the 13th and Saturday the 14th of February. And it's going to be a zombie prom.
Very cool.
We did it last year. And it was pretty well received. A lot of the teenagers in the area came out. Everybody was in some kind of zombie makeup. And everybody had the opportunity to go through the haunt. So, yeah, we're going to do the zombie prom. We've got an area in the haunt because, Alan, I don't know if you're aware, but it's completely indoor.
As are we.
And we've got an area where what looks like a... could be a booth in a trade show, and we put the next event, we put a little teaser there. Cause like right now we've got a king and a queen with crowns on and hearts, and they're over a coffin, and it says Zombie Prom 2015. And we changed that for each of our events. I don't know beyond Zombie Prom how much we're going to do until Halloween season, only because we're doing a complete rebuild of the interior.
That's a lot of work.
It is. We're not changing the path this year,
but we are stripping out and completely retheming all the rooms, as well as building an outdoor attraction too. So Ryan and I are going to be busy.
Absolutely.
But you know what? I'm looking forward to every minute of it because it's going to be something that I've created.
That's something to be proud of at the end of the day for sure.
Is there any kind of sage old advice you can give a brand new haunt owner?
If you're going to be doing multiple events, try to think of that now. We have a couple rooms that we call Disney rooms that we don't change. We might add some Christmas decoration into that room, but that's not a room that we're going to gut and flip. And we keep six or seven of those, and that's kind of what we call the core of Dark Hour. You know, we're going to leave that. We can change the characters in it, but those sets are going to stay. And other areas we have in mind, that whole area is going to get gutted and flipped over to be something else completely.
It's definitely food for thought, and I appreciate that. The reason we're gutting everything is because he's basically had the same theming for the last two seasons, and what we're coming up with is going to require that, but moving forward, I will definitely take that advice and set up several rooms to where they can be multi-purpose, depending on what theme we're going to use.
Yeah, we also get mileage out of our show. A couple of our events, we actually run backwards. So where your normal exit is the entrance. And you can change a lot just by running it backwards because they're seeing everything from a different vantage point.
Very interesting. I like that. Thank you, Alan.
Yeah, no problem.
Quick question for both of you. I know your Halloween events are terrifying and maybe bloody or gory and scary and all that. Do you try to keep the scare factor about the same or up it a notch or tone it down a notch for the different holiday events? I went to my very first Christmas-themed haunt this year, and I wouldn't say it was scary as much as I went to the same haunt for Halloween, but it was very entertaining. You know, there was no Krampus per se, but there was a lot of Santas and a lot of elves and things, and it was just more entertaining, I think, than it was watching, you know, elves acting scary, but it wasn't necessarily terrifying and as threatening and as all that as you would with a regular Halloween haunt. Do you try to keep it as scary or not?
Well, I would say that given my talent and everything, they're doing their best, and I try to keep it. I would like to keep it just as scary. Is that always possible when you've got a bunch of Christmas lights and actors in elf ears? Not so much. But the entertainment level will always be there. And it's the old adage, and Alan and Drew, you both can, you know, attest to this. If you can't scare them, make them laugh, keep them entertained.
Absolutely.
You have to actually work harder to get the same amount of scares as you do in October. The season is different. It's different in the air. There, you have to fight through, you know, a little bit of that joyous, you know, everybody feels good and are happy. You have to kind of beat that down just a little bit to get in there to jab at them. So it's less scary because of the season. The actors can be doing the exact same thing, but by doing a Christmas show or a holiday show, it feels in a way like you're making fun of Christmas. And just that fun word right there, you're going to get a few less scares. You know, Jim said it pretty well when he said it's hard with Christmas lights and with elf ears. It's all those touches that make it Christmas where you kind of have to work around those in order to get the same amount of scares. And I don't necessarily want the same amount of scares. I want it to be a little less scary because it's Christmas time. But I want to point out all the awesome and dark things that are Christmas. It's winter. Everything around you, the trees look dead. You know, there's a great side of winter and of the Christmas season to exploit. It's one of the darkest times of the year. We have more night. And when you have more night, you know, the days are shorter. When you have more night, monsters can go a little crazy, you know? And it's going to take a few seasons to get people aware of that. But Christmas shows are catching on. A lot more folks are doing Christmas-themed shows and timed shows, you know, just that late December, early January show. And I think it's a good season for it.
Sure. As I said, you know, mine was extremely entertaining. It's just very hard to scream at somebody with a chainsaw if they're wearing a Santa hat, but yet they are chasing you with a chainsaw. So, you know, there were some screams. I talked to the owners of the haunt. They said they had a couple of wet pants the night before, and they had a couple of good screams, and they had some people that refused to go through the entire thing. But, you know, it's different. It's a whole new thing, as you said, and you have to try harder. And I can imagine that when you're not in the quote-unquote Halloween mood and you're just kind of going through to see what it's all about, I can see how you'd have to up your game a little bit just to make it work.
Well, you know, I've got to tell you, this past Saturday, the majority of my patrons that came in were from other haunted houses. Just like Alan was saying earlier, that he's got all those people that potential for different kinds of haunts to come to his attraction. I had the same thing happen on Saturday, and I spoke to several of them after they came out. I asked their opinions, what they thought, what they liked, what they didn't like. I got a lot of positive feedback from these haunters, and I had this one couple that they've been going to haunted houses for years. They just started working at another haunt this year, and they came out smiling, and they came up to me and said, "Thank you so much. We had so much fun. We're going to come back to all your off-season events."
Very nice.
Absolutely. Yeah, we get a lot of that too. Absolutely.
And, you know, being that I'm still the new kid on the block, that just thrilled me to death. And another thing that made me proud was the fact that a haunt owner, whom I won't mention, came through, and one of my actors managed to scare him.
Nice. And it might be you might have to build that loyal following real quick, because once other haunts and haunt owners see it working, they may be inclined to keep their own actors at their own haunts and start opening up more of these. So, you know, strike now.
I do think it's going to pick up. I think the Christmas iron is hot right now, and I think it's going to stay hot and actually improve. Interactive entertainment is a big deal, and people are kind of waking up and seeing that, oh yeah, haunted houses have always been interactive entertainment.
And nowadays they're not just for Halloween. Looking at the clock on the wall, it is showing that we do need to start winding this down. So, Storm, Jerry, if you've got any questions, now would be the time to throw them out.
Alan and even towards Jim, what mistakes can be made if somebody wants to do this Christmas theme? Is there a big flaw in something that they have that a haunt owner has to look at before they attempt this type of venture?
I think one big flaw was highlighted recently by a news article. There's a haunted house in, I think it's upstate New York, and there's a TV commercial that they put out, and what they say in the article is that the news, the cable station wouldn't carry it because of violence. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's two kids are tied up with Christmas lights, and Santa Claus pulls a chainsaw out of his bag, and he's, you know, in the background, you can kind of see him go into town cutting up these kids with a chainsaw. I don't think that says it's a fun event to go to. That makes me nervous, and I think they're going to alienate a big chunk of their audience. Are they getting some free press out of it? Yes, but I don't know if that's going to be worth it.
Does not scream family friendly at all.
A big mistake that I made last year for our Valentine's show, one of the big artworks that we put out, we do giveaway cards and stuff to put in different businesses. It's a flyer program, and we do posters. And on the poster that we hang up in businesses all over to promote the event, it was a heart-shaped candy box full of mealworms. Great visual. Looked awesome. No restaurant would hang it up.
Good point.
Yeah.
So I lost a ton of window traffic because of my choice of poster art.
Alan, talking about that commercial from upstate New York, and I know who you're talking about, won't mention any names. Had that commercial aired in the Halloween season, and had that not been Santa Claus, would that have been a more appropriate commercial? It's children, I don't know. But, you know, would a commercial like that, had it been a teenage couple, like you'd see in a slasher film, had it been Leatherface-type person or a butcher or something, would it work at Halloween rather than at Christmas? Your opinion.
Not with children.
I agree with that.
I don't think that that's how I want to be represented.
There's a reason why all our favorite horror movies are killing teenagers and not children.
Teenagers are dumb.
Teenagers are our bread and butter. They're the ones in line.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly.
Jerry, Storm, Jim, any other questions you want to throw out?
No. Not off the top of my head.
So I assume that this is not going to go away, just as you said, the Christmas-themed haunts. What about other events during the season? I know there are haunts out there that are open every Friday the 13th, Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, etc. Do you think this is just going to keep getting bigger and bigger for the other holidays, maybe moving into not-so-big holidays? Are there going to be Independence Day haunts, President's Day, Arbor Day, anything like
there
that?
There we go, Arbor Day. Yeah, killer trees.
There you go. Or is it going to, shall we say, saturate the market so much it affects Halloween, where you could say, well, I was just at their Labor Day haunt, so why should I go in October type thing? Do you think it's going to ever get to that point?
If they don't change their show for these events and they cheap out and just throw on Santa hats, yes, they're going to bite themselves on it. But if you work to culture stories around each of these events, we have a coven of witches at Dark Hour. So part of our main, there's 13 witches that make the Dark Hour Coven. And each witch is in charge of a different one of the shows. As each one comes to power to be the head of the coven, that's when that show goes on. Baba Lupina is a gypsy witch, and she does the Dog Days of Summer show because she has dominion over werewolves. You know, so there's different witches for different shows. And that's a good tie-in. There's a real story there. Each show has its own identity. And I think as long as each show has its own identity, it'll be very successful.
Which brings you back to the basics of owning a haunt. As an actor trainer, as you are, and as I am, and as Jim is, you know, you've got to have a great backstory. And it sounds like you have got one that's running circles around a lot of them out there.
Well, it's one that we can adapt and change, you know. So just you add a different witch with a different take on things, and then you know, if I do want to do an Arbor Day haunted house, absolutely. That's when the nature witch comes into prominence. You know, and you throw in possessed lumberjacks and wood whites and all kinds of other cool monsters. I think you can make it work.
I'm writing all this down right now. But as I look at
Storm,
the clock,
Storm is giddy now.
Oh, Storm is giddy with this. But again, as I say, the clock, we're winding it down here. This is the time of the show we affectionately like to call the plug. So we'll start with our very own unknown scare actor, a.k.a. Jim. Tell us about Christmas and proms and all the cool stuff you've got going on at your haunt.
Well, we've got holiday horrors going on the 12th, 13th, 19th, and 20th of this month, which will be obviously after this airs, or before this airs. Our next event will be Zombie Prom. And that will be February 13th and 14th. And if you want to find out more information about that or buy tickets online, all you have to do is go to www.cincyscreams, that's cncyscreams.com, and you can find out all about Screammakers Court and some of the changes that are going to happen in the new theming and the new attractions that are going to be coming next year.
And ironically enough, you're not technically in Cincinnati.
Well, we're in the greater Cincinnati area. So we'll take it at that.
That's very cool. Alan, I know you've got just a slew of things going on, so we'll step back and give you a chance to plug away.
Well, obviously on the 26th, 27th, and then the weekend following, we have our holiday show, which is called Wreck the Halls. And that's when our Ice Witch takes over. That's going to be a fun show. A lot of cool stuff we're working on for that one. And then the 13th and 14th, we're doing Love is Blind, when our broken-hearted witch has cast darkness across the land. So it's our only blackout show.
That's February, right?
Yeah. Did I say something else? Yeah, February 13th and 14th.
Okay.
And I want to plug my Trans World class. I'm doing a two-hour class on how to make your show scarier by training the right things to our actors.
Ooh, nice. I'm going to have to go to that. Yeah. If you need volunteers, I volunteer already.
It's going to be a good class, I think.
Very nice.
Sounds like it.
And Transworld St. Louis in March. You know, if you haven't made your plans, you better make them quick, because I know hotels and everything are going fast.
Yeah, I guess I should plug my YouTube channel, Stilt Beast Studios, on YouTube. It's a lot of how-to and instructional stuff.
Are you still doing the custom masks?
I still do masks, but not as many because I just don't have time with Dark Hour doing 8 shows a year.
Very cool.
And he uses my music in the video sometimes, too.
Absolutely. And actually, Dark Hour Haunted House has a YouTube channel, and a lot of our videos use Jerry's music. It's good stuff.
I'll slip you the 20 later.
Well, as I want to say, as we always say, we want to thank our guests for joining us here on the Round Table of Terror. Alan Hopps down in Mesquite, Texas. Go to Stilt Beast Studios. Check out the YouTube channel. Check out Dark Hour Haunted House. Basically, almost at any point of the year, they're in preparation for some really cool and really scary thing going on. I want to thank you for joining us here, as well as the Unknown Scare Actor, a.k.a. Jim, for being a host and guest on the show tonight. Screammakers Court, go to CincyScreams.com. Be sure and check out the Zombie Prom coming up in February. And our other co-hosts, including Storm.
I'm taking the knowledge we learned tonight and rethinking my paintball Arbor Day where we just shoot at trees idea. Need to rethink that one.
Good times.
The Haunstrumentalist Jerry Vane.
A Krampus CD.
My name is Drew Badger, thinking the scariest scene in The Wizard of Oz was the talking trees, and now I can think revenge. So once again, folks, this is the Round Table of Terror here on the Big Scary Show. Stay tuned for the rest of the show, and we'll be right back.
Give the Amish their own holiday!
This is the Haunstrumentalist Jerry Vane. I'd like to wish all the listeners and sponsors of the Big Scary Show, as well as our special correspondents and my cohorts in crime and fellow hosts, a very safe and happy Merry Christmas, as well as a prosperous 2015. 2014 has been a rough year for everybody, myself included, and here's looking to a kick-ass 2015 to everyone. Be safe.
Michael Gaither, the Krampus comes out tonight on the Big Scary Show.
Kids have it easy in the Western world at Christmas time. All the boys and girls do their best to make Santa's list. But in old world Europe, there's another guy who makes the bad kids running high. The story, it goes like this. He's not the Christmas angel. He's Santa's evil twin. On Christmas Eve, when the bad kids sleep, that's when his work begins. Cloven hooves in a long black suit, he's really quite a sight. Hide your stockings, say your prayers, the Krampus comes out tonight. Krampus origins aren't that clear. They go back a couple of thousand years, but every myth agrees that punishment is his goal. He might use a switch, might use a chain. In some countries, they'll drag you away. You'd be happy to settle for a lump of coal. He's not a Christmas angel. He's Santa's evil twin. On Christmas Eve, when the bad kids sleep, that's when his work begins. A drunken beast with long, sharp teeth, he's really quite a sight. Hide your stockings, say your prayers, the Krampus comes out tonight. He doesn't get a TV special, you won't see him in a Christmas card. Any luck, you won't see him at all.
tomorrow. Simple as that. Hope you get a visit from the guy in red on Christmas Eve instead of that demon left in black. Merry Christmas and watch your back.
Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those VideoTube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos? Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is! Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for HauntersDigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information, visit www.HauntersDigest.com today.
Hey, it's Extra Special Correspondent Tater wishing everybody that listens a happy holidays, Merry Christmas. They told me to let you guys know my favorite holiday tradition, so it's when Granny chugs 3-4 Locos and wrestles the Christmas tree because she says it's talking shit. Can I say shit? Oh well, Merry Christmas.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Big Scary Show. You know, hope you've had a great holiday season. The Christmas season has just passed us by, and we're looking ahead to 2015. And when you think about the beginning of the new year, what better thing to think about than getting a new calendar so you can treat yourself to all the cool things that 2015 will have to offer. And I remember a couple of years ago, one of our very first sponsors on the Big Scary Show was the Halloween Haunt Calendar for the for that year. The creator of that was Hector Turner up in the Toronto, Ontario, Canada area. And being the end of the year, thought we'd give him a call back and see how things are going with his Halloween Haunt Calendar 2015. Hector Turner, are you on the line?
I am indeed. Good to talk to you.
Great. Great having you back again. It's been a long time since we've been in touch with each other. Hopefully we'll rectify that situation. But just wanted to ask you a few questions. Being the end of the year, Halloween Haunt Calendar 2015, how's it coming along and everything? I know it's already created and being shipped and everything, but how was the calendar creation this year?
Yeah, the calendar went great this year. You know, outstanding numbers, and I normally put out the call for photo submissions sometime around in spring and set the deadline for middle of the summer. So, you know, they start to roll in. People submit photos, and then I have the job of going, you know, people submit between 2 to 3 or 4 photos, and then I have the hard job of going through and just selecting one, because unfortunately, space being at a premium, I can only feature one photo from each and every haunter. But, yeah, I go through, I select all the photos, and then go about the process of creating the calendar so that I can get it to the printers and, you know, ideally get it ready to ship for October 1st when people are looking, you know, looking to get it. And then, you know, I ship it all out. A lot of people, they like to receive it and have it in advance of Halloween. Some people give it as gifts, as thank yous for their scare actors, for working in the haunt. And then, of course, you know, they have it well in advance of the new year so that they're all set to go as soon as January 1st rolls around.
Excellent. I know you're in about your fifth year of doing this. What clicked in your head one day and said, I'm going to do a Halloween calendar?
Well, you know, there's a lot of calendars out there, and, you know, generally they're, you know, the 12-month calendar, and you have 12 photos. That's it. And I know that some other people had done some Halloween calendars featuring some haunters on the various forums and whatnot, but, you know, they did sort of select it down to only 12 haunters. And my thought was, you know, there's, you know, such a wealth of talent out there. And, you know, everybody's haunt is different than anybody else's. And so I thought, you know, let's get people to submit. And, you know, we'll feature as many haunts as we can possibly fit in. And in addition to the photo, I've got, you know, photo credits that give the haunter's name, the name of their haunt, and, you know, the city in which they're located. And so I started back in 2010, and at that time it was just it was the Haunted Ontario calendar, and it was really just for members of the Ontario Haunters Club at that time. And I started off with just 43 photos, and then from there it grew to the next year to Haunted Calendar, Haunted Canada, where I opened it up to the rest of Canada. And brought in 51 photos, and so it started to grow from there. Things really started to take off in, I guess, when it was 2013, and I opened it up to the United States and international, as well as Canada, so basically hunters anywhere. And, you know, that's when it really started to take off and generate a lot of interest, and it's just grown exponentially from there. But it is really unique in that, you know, haunters can see their photo in amongst all the other photos, and you get a real amazing sense of, you know, the depth of creativity that's out there.
I think 2013 was the first year that we had co-sponsored that. I know we had an ad and a little bit of information thrown in there, and that's when I believe you went, you went, quote-unquote, international into the States. How was it received with the U.S.? You'd already been in Canada for a couple of years and been established. It was the percentages that first time you opened it up to the States still mostly Canadian, or did the U.S. just overwhelm you, or you know, how, what was the percentages, would you, if you could remember?
Yeah, I sort of joked with my friend saying I was going to open the floodgates, but I guess the first year it was about 50-50, and then gradually it's grown to maybe 60-70% U.S. Haunts. Last year I had a number of international haunts from Great Britain, and I think one over in Europe. This year I was hoping to get more, but it's just that the community there is small, but it is growing, so I'm always hopeful that, you know, the following year might bring in some more international haunts, because it's always great to see those and see what people are doing, you know, all over.
Absolutely. As far as you say, you go through the meticulous process of picking out the different picks and everything, how many pictures do you have in the 2015 this year?
This year I'm up to a record high. It's 128 photos. And I actually had to bring in, add extra pages to the calendar so that there's the 12 months with photos, and then there's three extra bonus pages of extra photos that I had to put in order to fit everything.
Excellent. And most of these are professional haunts? Are they home haunts? The combination, is it just people in costume? What, or just pictures of haunted houses? What constitutes a good photo for this calendar if I was to say I want to submit a couple of photos for next year?
Yeah, it runs the gamut. I get everything from, you know, home haunts to some charity haunts, professional haunts. If they are professional haunts, I do ask that it is sort of the haunt owners that submit. I had a few that were submitted by, you know, people that were working the haunts, the scare actors. And I always want to make sure that they have the owner's permission, you know, to post the photos, as well as any other actors that may or may not appear in it. But, yeah, so there is a few professional haunts. And then there's even people, like you say, that just dress up in costume. There's makeup artists, some people that just decorate their house for a party. I don't really set any criteria other than it has to be their, you know, their haunt or their photo. They just can't sort of go down to, you know, Not Scary Farm and take a photo and submit it. It has to be their work.
I see. And of course, it has to be Halloween haunted house type related. You can't just take a picture of your puppy or something unless it was wearing a cute costume, maybe?
unless it was wearing some sort of costume. Exactly.
Excellent.
Other than that, I don't really, I haven't gotten to the stage yet where I'm sort of setting a criteria as, this is good enough and this is not good enough. I want to try and avoid that. Everybody has got different talent levels, different skill levels, and everybody brings something different to their haunt. And I'm not here to judge, what haunt is better than the other. I'm just going to take, if you've submitted 4 photos, I'm going to pick your best one and put it in there.
And black and white and color, I assume?
Yeah, either or, whatever people want to send. The better quality photo, obviously, pixel-wise and quality-wise is the best, but I don't really have time to sort of go tracking down people, so what they send is what gets printed.
Sure.
If it is too poor quality, then I might have to try and contact them and get them to resubmit better quality photos.
Aside from pictures, are there anything special on the dates or anything? Any particular, I assume Halloween's in there, all the major holidays, anything like that?
Yeah, all the major holidays. I also include all the lunar months because, of course, we always want to know when the next full moon is. And I also put in all the major haunt conventions. So Transworld is in there, Midwest Haunters, West Coast Convention, a number
Excellent.
Of the other conventions. So people can know when those are coming up. And then the other unique item is that each and every day of the calendar, I have a little down in the bottom of each day, I have, H minus and a number. And it's actually a daily countdown from Halloween, so you know exactly how many days are just left until Halloween.
Oh, very nice. So it's kind of everything all wrapped up into one nice little spooky package. I love it.
That's right, yep.
For people interested in buying this, I assume you still have plenty in stock and they can just go online and purchase this and you'll ship one out to them?
Yeah, there's lots left. The easiest way is right through the website. It's www.halloweenhauntcalendar.com and there's a PayPal button there. The calendars are $18 plus shipping, depending on whether you're U.S. or international or Canada. And then, yeah, I get the orders and I ship them right out to people. I'm shipping a lot now right before Christmas, trying to get them to people to give as gifts.
Right. Sounds like a plan. I'm going to have to get on the site in just a few days or so and get my copy of this because it's just sounds like a great thing all around. And certainly being someone who loves photography, I may have to submit a couple in the spring. Be sure and let us know when you are going to start taking submissions, and we certainly will get that word out to anybody that wants to submit pictures. I assume they'll just email you a picture, or do they need to physically send you something printed?
No, I generally take them by email, and I ask that people go through the website for the full submission info, just because I have a number of some guidelines there as to quality and then also in terms of, making sure that people are, have the proper permissions, like I say, to submit the photos.
Excellent.
So they would go through the website and there's a email link there and then they can send me the photos directly.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Hector Turner up in Toronto, Ontario, it's been a pleasure to have you here on the Big Scary Show. That email address, halloweenhauntcalendar.com, correct?
That's correct. That's the website, yeah.
Absolutely. So you can go ahead and get on that website right now, everyone, and go order yourself a 2015 Halloween Haunt Calendar. Thank you again, Hector, for taking the time to speak to us on your busy holiday season. I wish you the best for 2015. And we certainly want to have you back on here again at some point in the year when it comes time to either submit photos or when your shipments are getting ready. So once again, that's HalloweenHauntCalendar.com. Go get your 2015 Halloween Haunt Calendar, and I guarantee you, you won't be disappointed. Once again, this is Drew Badger here live for the Big Scary Show, and we are out.
Announcing the second annual Haunt X Haunters Retreat, April 30th through May 3rd, 2015, at the Circus Circus Convention Center in Reno, Nevada. With 4 days of classes and workshops and a two-day trade show, Haunt X is an immersive experience with activities taking place 14 hours a day, including a costume ball, cheesy movie night, a paranormal investigation and pub crawl, scary scavenger hunt, and the soon-to-be-legendary hospitality suite. For more information, visit www.hauntx.com. That's hauntx.com. We'll see you in Reno.
Twisted Sister, featuring Lita Ford. I'll Be Home for Christmas on the Big Scary Show. Haunters, the Unknown Scare Actor here. I hope you all had a wonderful holiday season, whether it be Christmas or Festivus or Kwanzaa or Krampusnacht, or any of the other numerous holidays there are out there. Happy Yule to those of you that celebrate Yule, Winter Solstice, all of the above. From me, the Unknown Scare Actor, a.k.a. Jim Millespa, the worst-kept secret in the haunt industry, along with the Lady of Darkness, we wish you all the best for this holiday season. Do you remember your worst nightmares? What is it that fills you with dread? Do you hear things go bump in the night? Well, it's time. It's time to face your fears. Brought to you by Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Check out Nez's work at www.darkspectre.com. Couture for the creatures of the night.
Twas the fright before Christmas and all through the haunt. Not a creature was stirring, no victims to taunt. The skeletons were hung by the boiler with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be scared. The monsters were hiding underneath all the beds, while visions of blood and gore danced in their heads. Elvira showing cleavage and a vampire named Drac had just settled down after a typo negative snack. When out in the graveyard arose such a clatter, the zombies woke up to see what was the matter. Up from the cold earth they dug their way out, moaning and groaning and shuffling about. The full moon shone bright high in the sky, as werewolves howled and a bat flew by. Then what did my wandering eyes see in fear but a horde of demons snacking on reindeer? And a little old driver so bloody and slick, I saw at that moment the end of St. Nick. More rapid than harpies they ate and they fed, and he screamed and he cried and he fell over dead. Now Barbus and Amon, Forcus and Zagon, eat Marbus and Legion, Kali and Leviathan. Drain all his blood, suck the bones clean. Finally he knows that I say what I mean. As his bones hit the ground for scavengers to take, growling and snarling and claiming their stake. Up to the housetop, something flew, with a sleigh full of coal and evil to do. And then in a shiver I heard on the roof the thumping and pawing of really big hoofs. As I drew in a hand and was turning around, down the chimney came the Krampus with a bound. He was covered in fur from his head to his foot, and his hair was stained with blood and with soot. And a bag full of children he had flung on his back, opening it up to look for a snack. His eyes, how they burned, his teeth all bloody. His claws were like razors, his hooves were all scaly. His mouth was opened in a wide, wicked grin, as foul-looking drool ran down his chin. A sharpened finger bone he held in his teeth, used as a toothpick to clean out the meat. He had a sharp face looking evil and cold, and his laugh was as chilling to all who were bold. He was tall and lean and scary as hell, and my nose curled up from an ungodly smell. A flash of a tooth and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had plenty to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, coal in the stockings, and turned with a jerk. Grabbed the bottle and drank of his schnapps, and giving a nod up the chimney, he shot. He sprang off the roof, gave a loud scream, disappearing in the night like some horrible dream. But I heard him say, as he vanished from sight,
"Scary Christmas to all, and to all, a good fright." Always remember one thing, haunters. Everyone is afraid of something. Wednesday 13, Buried by Christmas on the Big Scary Show.
hear that? The asylum is being overrun. It's time to go to Von Caron Productions and check out the Insane Ensemble. For those troublesome lunatics, they have the commitment coat, a straitjacket designed to keep them restrained. Or, if you're the doctor who likes to experiment, then the psychosurgical coat was made just for you. Go to Von Caron Productions, www.voncaron.com. That's V-O-N-C-H-A-R-O-N, Von Caron Productions. Get there before you, too, are infected by the madness.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people and others. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse. Von Caron Productions. Von Caron, VonCharon.com. Screamline Studios at ScreamlineStudios.com. We'd also like to thank the Four Ghosts. Storm, catch his ramblings at HauntMinute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor, videos and more, UnknownScareActor.com. The Hauntstrom medalist Jerry Vane. Pick up his newest CD, Bodies in the Bayou, at JerryVane.com. Also available as a digital download on iTunes and all other digital media sites. And Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more. RabbitBadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback@BigScaryShow.com. And keep sending in those news items, news@BigScaryShow.com. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BigScaryShow. Make sure to follow us on our new Twitter account at TheBigScaryShow. We just may occasionally tweet out some information that you won't find anywhere else. Be sure to search for The Big Scary Show on iTunes. And while you're there, please give us a review. We would appreciate it a lot. Tune in next time when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is The Big Scary Show.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.